Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Get ready for time travel. Watch OS 2 is here.
Finally! Plus, I've got a smaller iPad than you do, the iPad Mini 4.
And all our favorite iOS 9 new tricks.
It's time for iOS Today! iOS Today is brought to you by Unity, the free home media server. Stream your media and files from any computer you own to your iOS devices. For more information and to download Unity for free, visit getunity.com/twit. That's getyounity.com/twit. And by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for the right payments API, check out the Braintree V.0 SDK. With one simple integration, you get every way to pay. To learn more and to try out the sandbox, go to braintreepayments.com/iOS today. And by 99 Designs. Having experience these days? Priceless. More than 400,000 design projects have passed through the doors at 99 Designs. Now that's expertise. Visit 99designs.com/twit and get a $99 upgrade of services for free. iOS Today time. I'm Leo Laporte.
I am Megan Maroney. iOS 9's been out for almost a week.
This is really exciting because moments before the show began, WatchOS 2.0 came out.
Yes, it did.
And I was watching Instagram on Friday, and Rene Ritchie had a picture of an iPad Mini 4. They didn't say when it was going to be out, did they?
No, I don't remember.
It just appeared in the Apple Store. Yeah. So Lisa and I took a field trip, and we got iPad Mini 4s. And it's the same as an Air 2, right? But it seems like the screen is much improved over the old Mini. I like a smaller iPad. This is great for me for reading in bed, for travel. And I have to say, I'm really liking this iPad Mini too.
My dad has the Mini, and you said it was the only iPad ever to buy. He always mentions that when
I never said that. I said the iPad Mini 3 you shouldn't buy.
Maybe that's what he
because
has.
The third generation only added a fingerprint reader. That was last year.
Yeah.
And so I skipped it. I have iPad 1 and 2, Mini 1 and 2, and loved it. The first one was not Retina. The second one was Retina. But now this is effectively the same as this iPad Air 2. Just shrunk down. Same processor.
Matches.
It even matches, doesn't it?
Right.
Fingerprint reader. And, of course, with iOS 9, it's kind of an intriguing product. Like, for instance, I'll launch the browser, and, it gave away the thing. This is the iOS 9 slideover. It does work on the iPad Mini 4, just as it does on the Air 2.
Oh,
so there's Microsoft Word running side-by-side with Safari. I don't know how often you'd want to do that, but you can. You can also, I think I could slide this down. There it is. I can also open a few other apps, not all apps, but a few other apps in here. And I think that's kind of cool. It's not unusual that I will be in one app and I'll double tap the home button, get to the recent, slide through it, and open another one, then go back. This will save me a little bit of time that way. By the way, the double tap has changed on iOS 9. I kind of like this new double tap feature, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
Everything's smoother. Just seems smoother and better.
Well, it's certainly faster, but you're still using an iPad Air 1.
I am, so I can only do half the split screen. Like, I can only do, let's see if it, I swipe from the left.
The right.
Right? Oh, yeah. So.
Well, no, that's not it, though.
That's my context. You can show my context.
But you can slide this down, and then you can see what other things are available.
Oh, okay.
But what you can't do is the resizing, right?
Oh, I can't. So I can't make it. It can only be this size.
Is that true? Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things you can do on an Air 2 or with an iPad Mini is these windows can be any arbitrary size. Now, I have to say, on a Mini, this is only of marginal value, but I think this is mostly for the iPad Pro when you get a giant screen. Both these screens will be the size of an iPad itself, so of a portrait mode iPad itself. So that was, and by the way, yes, you want a really skinny column, so you can do that.
And so that costs about the same as like the new Amazon tablets, $50 for that?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's $100 less in the base model. It's $399. But by the time I added 128 gigabytes of storage, because I wanted all my music in here, and added the built-in wireless capability, it got over $700.
Yeah.
Now, I do like the wireless capability for this, because this is portable enough that I might carry it around. If I've, if you've got Tango, Line, Google Hangouts, any one of the apps that'll let you make phone calls, FaceTime, this can become a, like a giant phone that you can have with
That's
you.
Good.
I think this is going to be kind of like my travel iPad that I could just throw in a bag and carry around with me.
Yeah.
And the screen is improved over previous, even the Retina iPads minis. The color gamut is now pretty much the same as the iPad Air 2. That means colors look more natural. There's a wider range of colors. It really is a good-looking iPad and feels very snappy, too. That is the iPad Mini 4. I love some of these new features, by the way, don't you?
Yeah.
On iOS. Mm-hmm. In fact, let's go through. I think that's what we're going to do today is talk about two things, iOS 9 and, lo and behold, watchOS 2.0.
WatchOS 2, yes. So should I start with my some of my favorite features?
Please do, yeah.
You can watch us while you're using your iPad for work, which is super nice, I think. So
there's a good use for the split screen,
yeah.
Right?
So
no, that's the
picture-in-picture, which I can
I haven't
do on
seen
the
this
iPad
work.
Too.
Let me see this.
See.
Yeah.
Where's my Twit page? Is that it?
Bring me my Twit.
Yeah. So let's find...
So there's...
let's find iOS today. We don't want to watch the tech news tonight.
And let's not watch it live because that would be confusing.
That would be confusing. So we'll just watch last week's
That's
episode.
Not confusing at
not
all.
Not at all. So let's
all right.
see.
Pick an episode.
And we'll click play on that.
Okay, so now you got the video going in our player.
Yes.
And now how do we make that... Come on, play. There we go.
See this little... Oh, there we go. This little icon right here.
That minimizes
it so that I can go somewhere
Now
else.
You can surf elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know what? That's great for our shows because I think a lot of the times there's nothing to see here.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to listen to the show, but I like it if people download the video because, especially on this show, there are a few of our shows where there is video, like right now we're showing video, and it would be nice to be able to, oh, they're showing something I want to see, then go over to the picture-in-picture and pop it up.
Yeah.
That's how people use this on the desktop, I think.
Yeah, so like I can download some apps, I can read the paper, I can do whatever, and I'm still watching and listening to us.
Nice.
Very tiny. We look good that small, don't you think?
You know, another thing you might want to do with that is the iTunes Music Festival going on right now in London. You could watch a concert or listen to a concert and have it playing in the little screen there. I like that. I think that's nice. So
picture in picture.
It's so funny. There's so many new features in iOS 9. I haven't tried that one yet.
Yes. Well, you were showing off Siri, the left swipe Siri. Do you like that one?
Where
you can left swipe Siri? So you can swipe to the left. And you get search.
Well, is that Siri?
Well, it's Siri suggestions. Now, search is no longer called Spotlight search, right? It's just called search, and it's better. And so
this top box is Siri suggestions.
Suggestions of people that I've contacted. You know, I'm crazy about the Snapchat, so Siri already knows
that. So the apps you use the most will show
up. Right, so it's Siri because it's like she knows that these are the apps that I'm using.
This is Apple's response to Google Now cards, kind of. So the next box down is stuff that's nearby. So I can see lunch, coffee, shopping, gas. Mm-hmm. You're seeing pretty much the same things in yours. Groceries.
News, yeah.
News is great.
We're seeing almost the same news, but...
Yeah. But that's customized based on... I don't know, but I think based on your use of Apple News. I don't know. If I press show more, no, it just adds more.
Well, it's the same. They're just in different order. Maybe it's because I already read that article about Apple speeding up...
Electric car work.
Yeah. Maybe it knows
when it already. When it opens, it does... Does it open on the... On the web, yeah, it opens on the web.
Mm-hmm. Not in news. Interesting.
Not in news.
Oh,
no,
wait,
it does
no,
open the news. That's news. Sometimes it's confusing. Okay.
Here, let me get rid of you down here because that's confusing.
How do you get rid of that? Oh, you just
yeah,
X.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about news if you played around with
Yeah. So news is interesting. As you know, one of the big features, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, and I'll show you how to do it, is the ad blocking that's built into Safari.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's actually not built in, but if you put an ad blocker on there, you can turn it on.
You're allowed to now. Legally allowed to.
So what that... kind of effectively does is drives people who put content on the web that's ad supported off the web and into apps. And one of the apps that coincidence that came out from Apple is called News. I'm going to open my News folder because I'll show you I have a lot of news apps. If you had the old Newsstand app. Mm-hmm. That's going to turn into just a normal folder named Newsstand, and you could pull stuff out. So my New Yorker and the New York Times, those were in the Newsstand. Now they're standalone applications. And this is a folder I created. This is not an Apple News folder. Here's the Apple News app. By the way, I do not like that icon. Do you think that's a good-looking icon? I think that's not a good-looking icon.
Yeah, it looks old-fashioned. Looks
it's got
old
a
fashion.
Newspaper with kind of bad color of mm-hmm. red around it. I feel like that is... It's too small to really understand. Look, as you're looking at it, is it obvious what that is?
Right. That's weird.
I feel like that's a terrible icon, but, you know, that's nitpicking. Mm-hmm. News might look a little bit like a browser for you, but let me go back to the front page, because what it really is a newspaper that's based on stuff you picked. You can look at it this way. You can look at it, the sources that you've picked. Mm-hmm. You can add news sources easily enough. It will suggest channels based. So I picked a lot of tech stuff. So look, the suggested channels are, of course, tech blogs, and the suggested topics, business, computing information, mobile apps, computing, Microsoft Windows. But you can see there are many, many more categories. If you're a news fan, many of the major news organizations are in here. And if you go to the New York Times, for instance, you will see a kind of not the same version of the New York Times that you would see in the New York Times app. It's designed to load faster, maybe be a maybe crash faster, maybe be
new,
a little
mini.
Prettier. And the ads that are in here are Apple ads, which means there are ads. They don't go away. The ad blocker doesn't affect news, but Apple gets a cut of all the ads. Oh. And there are conspiracy theorists who say, well, yeah, of course, what Apple and Google, too, are interested in doing is pushing people off the open web and into apps where they can make money off the ads they sell. Actually, Google makes money on most of the ads. Makes some money on the Google ads they sell on the open web. Apple doesn't do that, but they do sell ads in apps like this. In fact, it's already started. I went to Wired Magazine this morning and tried to read an article. And when I got to the article on Wired Magazine, it said, oh, no, you can't read this on the web until tomorrow. You have to read this in Apple News.
Oh, really?
Which is a little... Now, fortunately, I have Apple News, so if I really cared about the story, I could read it in Apple News. But I find that a little bit upsetting. Let's go back to Wired. I find that a little upsetting because I feel like this is kind of a gated community, and not everybody has an iOS device. Not everybody can read that story. I wonder if that's going to backfire on news... operations that do that. I find it a little bit annoying, but I understand why. It's kind of in response to this ad blocking, and people are using ad blocking more and more on the web. And so if you move your content off of the Safari and into do you want me to show the ad blocking into Apple News?
Sure,
you can still
why not?
Have ads.
You have
so
what did you download? What ad blocking?
Well, a lot of us downloaded Marco Arment's piece.
We can talk about that now. Why wait?
It was the number one app on the App Store because it, well, everybody knows Marco.
Yeah,
he's
that
the guy
was
who did Overcast.
Right.
He's a
Tumblr.
He's an Instapaper. He's a well-known member of the Macintosh and Apple community.
Right, and I think
we
that's important because ad blockers, when they were a little shady, when they weren't, you know, on the up and up, it was like, well, is this going to be...
Who do I trust?
Yeah, who do I trust? So I think that makes perfect sense that his was so popular.
Yeah, but... And his was free.
It was $2.99.
Oh, I'm sorry, $2.99.
That's what's so interesting about this. He could have made a lot of money.
So 3 days in, he pulled it. And he wrote an article. He said, it just doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
The ad blocking worked using a database that he got from a very, very good Chrome plugin called Ghostery. Mm-hmm. Ghostery, most of these ad blockers work the same way. They have a database or two or three or many that contain addresses for ad services, and they just block them all.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ghostery database, oddly enough, blocked an ad service called The Deck, an ad service Marco used on his own Marco.org site, mm-hmm. and his good friend John Gruber uses on his dang Fireball site. Gruber made no bones about being a little upset about this. In fact, The Deck ads are not obtrusive. Mm-hmm. They're not ugly. They're just little... tiny ads. They seem to me to be exactly the kind of ads we want on the web, but Ghostery blocks it, and so did Peace. So Marco felt like, he said, I'm winning a war, but a war I don't want to be fighting. It's not worth it. So he's pulling it. He's saying, and he does, to his credit, give links to Purify and Crystal, two of the other ad blockers available for iOS.
But he just didn't want to be the one in charge of deciding what was a good ad, who was doing mobile advertising right, and who was doing it wrong. I thought it was a really interesting piece because, I mean, he is a designer. He makes apps. He's not just a journalist or, you know, someone like us that is always reporting on this stuff, but also supported. We're not supported by mobile ads.
But we're supported by ads.
Advertising. So all
my whole life, that's how I've made a living, is free ad-supported media.
Right. So there are very few journalists who aren't making a living that way
right.
and who are reporting on this. And we try to be as unbiased as possible, but it's difficult, right? I mean, we can't be 100% unbiased. Like, we can't say, like, advertising is bad. That's how we support
ourselves. If I were the type of person who was interested in promoting my own interests, but not the interests of the web as in general, I would promote ad blocking.
Right.
Because ad blocking doesn't affect us.
Right. This is
people
no
who use ad blockers on browsers mm-hmm. aren't hurting us at all.
Right.
We do have a couple of banner ads on our website, but it's really more a gift. A paying gift, but a gift that we give to our advertisers.
Right.
It's not by any means how we make our living. We make mm-hmm. our living, as you know, by in-show ads.
Right.
And ad blockers don't block those.
Right.
But I think it would be hypocritical of me to say, oh, ads are bad, because,
yeah.
in fact, that's how I make a living.
Mm-hmm.
Ads aren't bad if they're mm-hmm. done properly with
right.
respect for the audience.
Right.
I understand people don't like, especially on mobile, the
mm-hmm.
way the ads take over the pages, force you to click little tiny X's.
And they're tracking you. I mean, there's like, you don't really know how they're tracking you.
Yeah,
like
people are concerned about the privacy impact. So I understand why people, and there's a malware payment too, because
right.
in some cases these ads can contain malware.
Right.
You don't have to worry on iOS or Windows. It's not going to, I mean, Macintosh is not going to affect you, but it does affect Windows users.
Mm-hmm.
So I installed Crystal. Now, this is one of many Purifies $3.99. Crystal's free. Or no, 99 cents, I think it was. They're all. But there's not much interface to Crystal. In fact, the only interface is block ads, which is the default, report a site to be blacklisted. In other words, to say, oh, you're not blocking ads on this site or mm-hmm. ads coming from this site. What you really have to do is go into settings. Now, when I first got iOS 9, I said, oh, let me see this ad blocker thing. It doesn't show up until you install an ad blocker. So the first thing is to go onto the App Store and pick an ad blocker. Then go into the settings and Safari. Once you've installed an ad blocker, you'll see a new entry in Safari settings. It says content blockers. I only installed one, Crystal, and you'll need to then turn it on. But once you do, it is just like an ad blocker on the desktop. When you go to websites that have ads, you just don't see them.
Mm.
It also has the impact that they can't track you. They can't count you either.
Mm.
So websites don't even really know that you're visiting the website. There's an ethical component to this. Are you stealing? I don't know if it's exactly stealing, but certainly you're consuming content that you're not paying for when you run an ad blocker.
Mm-hmm.
The way you pay for content on the free web is with your attention, looking at ads.
Right.
And you don't, by the way, it's not clicking on ads. So people say to me, oh, well, I never click, so it doesn't matter. No, it's the fact that the ad loaded and you might have seen it. It's not even that you looked at them. You don't. There's no measurement of whether you registered that ad. Most of the time, I don't. We don't see banner ads.
And, yeah. But
nevertheless, by turning the blocker on, you do some great things for you. You speed up your page loading by 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
You eliminate annoying ads, ads that you have to click and swipe out of the way. You eliminate tracking. And if there were a malware issue on iOS, it would also prevent that. So
yeah.
I understand why people run ad blocking.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that with the technology has sort of created the problem. No one said it was stealing when you got up to like make a sandwich during the commercials while you were watching TV. You know, no one.
And I guess it really isn't. That's what kind of finally sold me on ad blockers. I use TiVo. I skip ads.
Yeah, right. But I mean, that wasn't an issue before, like getting up or, you know, even, you know, it's same way with borrowing music. I mean, once the technology makes it easy for everyone to do it widely and it starts to affect people financially, then it is.
I'll merely point out the fact that it costs, that it may cost us, that some sites may go out of business.
Yeah.
And we just talked to Drew Curtis, who runs FARC.com on Triangulation last hour. He said he knows many independent sites that are ad supported that are noticing significant drops in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Those sites may eventually go away. There is a cost to it. It also, and I'm more worried about this, it pushes people off the free and open internet, which I'm a huge supporter of, into the gated communities of apps where you're still going to get tracked. Apple tracks you. You're still going to get ads. Apple puts ads in there, as do other companies. It's not going to eliminate that. It's just going to create these gated communities. And I don't think that's good either. I think a free and open web where anybody, in order to, you know, you'd have to develop an app or go into Apple's ecosystem and put it on news. And that's something a lot of us can't do. I feel like there's a price we'll pay for this. I don't know what the answer is. I understand why people run ad blockers. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah, it is an interesting story. Here are a few other tricks I have. Now in iOS 9, you can see whether a site takes Apple Pay, which I think is really useful to me if you're going shopping. And so let's look at, like, Petaluma Market. I want to go over there. I forgot my wallet at home. All I have is
How do you know if they take Apple Pay?
All I have is my Apple Watch, and I don't have my wallet. Am I going to be able to eat lunch?
By the way, this is part of the new search results, too. You see, you're seeing a Maps result, which shows you how to get there.
Yeah.
Then you're seeing a suggested website, which is wrong. And then you're seeing
email,
your email.
Hopefully it'll get smarter. So that's what I want. I want Petaluma Market in Petaluma in Maps, and I want it to
And Maps is going to be telling you
about Apple Pay. Yes, Maps is going to tell me, so I see where it is, and then there we go.
Hey, Apple Pay. Nice.
So it'll tell you.
It doesn't show any other payment methods.
No, nope, not in take Apple everything. Maps, it doesn't. But they do take everything. But I don't have everything. So.
I just paid. I was right there this afternoon for lunch, and I used my Android phone to pay for it. So
for
you
what?
Can. You, have you ever heard of Android?
No, I don't know.
Are you excited?
Now,
are you getting the new iPhone Friday?
No, I'm getting it not until October, which doesn't make sense because they're in stores September 25th, but then the one I ordered is really not going to come until October because I ordered it.
You could cancel
noon.
It and go in the store and get it.
I might have to do that.
Well, the experience has been in past years, there's a line. You know, we were there at 3 in the morning last year to get the iPhone 6, but that by the afternoon, they often still have phones in stock and there's no line. You may not get exactly the model you want. That's the only.
Usually I'm here.
Do you want pink?
Too. I do want
pink. I'll have pink next week.
Yes.
We'll see. Is it rose gold or pink?
Yeah.
On this monitor, it will be pink. I don't know what's going to be on that monitor. That monitor gives us a very pinkish cast.
It does. And yeah, after the break, I'm going to show you my new rose gold Apple Watch, too.
Ooh.
But you can't ask after the break. I got one more tip.
Next day.
I have two more tips, actually.
I'm loving this because I'm really learning. The iOS 9 has so much stuff you don't know about at all.
Yeah. Now, low power mode, have you experienced
that
yet? It's not in the iPad. It's
only
in the phone.
Uh-huh.
So every time your phone gets to 20%, it automatically asks you if you want to go into low power.
And what happens when you go into low power?
It just turns off all the things that you have to think.
That you want?
Probably know to turn off anyway. I'll
like
show
your,
you you know,
antennas?
Fetching mail and that kind of thing.
Right.
The things that... let's see. Well, no, not battery general.
So it doesn't disable the phone. It doesn't even disable web surfing, right? It just turns off some of the extra
stuff. It's not as serious as the low power mode in the Apple Watch, which really does gives away everything.
Yeah.
So it reduces power consumption, and then you can fully charge your iPhone when this is on mail fetch, background app refresh, automatic downloads, and some visual effects are reduced or turned off. So it's all the things that you would go manually do.
You might want to, if you're having battery life issues on your phone, turn off visual effects to begin with. Those don't add anything, right?
Yes. And then if you're charging it, it automatically turns off at 80%.
Ah, nice.
So I turn it on. You can also turn on the battery percentage so you can see the percentage of battery you have left.
I am so excited. As you probably know, I gave my iPhone 6 to my son. He broke his. He said, well, send it to me when you get the new iPhone. I said, well, I'm going to get it on Friday. Why don't I send it to you? But what I didn't realize is without the iPhone, I can't update my Apple Watch to watchOS 2.0. Friday. Mine comes Friday. We'll do an unboxing, and we'll probably put it into a before you buy, at least a first look at the iPhone 6S Plus. I got the big one.
Yeah. I got the big one, too.
And I've already ordered cases, and I'm a little worried because I ordered these cases very early, and I'm wondering, gosh, are they going to fit? We talked about this last week. I guess they will.
Yeah.
I got the new Rockform case. Mm. That's the robust one. I can drop it. It also attaches to everything. I've got magnets everywhere. And then I also ordered a beautiful Dodo case. Those are the ones that make it look like you have like a Moleskine notebook inside.
That's nice.
Is your iPhone 6.
This is not an iPhone. This is probably the last Android phone our family will ever have. This is the second time my daughter dropped it. Don't buy the $12 cases you can get at Amazon, even though they say cool, inspirational things on the back.
I got to tell you a couple of things, because I've been through this with iPhones. That's why my son has my iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Let's hope it doesn't look like this.
There's very few cases that will end up not doing that, because if you hit the glass just right, you're going to break it. And most of you need access to the glass. There are cases with lids.
Yeah.
My daughter has... A robot, I can't remember who makes it, but one of those strong cases that has a plastic shield that would have helped. But I feel bad making her wear it because she's got to, you know, touch the thing through this plastic.
Well, that was the Mophie case that we dropped in the bowl of water. Yeah. It is hard to.
It's annoying.
Do. Yeah.
So really, the iPhone's so beautiful, you don't want to put it in a case. But right. I think kids, what are you going to do? I mean, they're going to break these.
They have to have a better case.
I've seen, and I'm sure your kids have done this too. My son with chunks of glass missing from the front of his iPhone, still using it.
Yeah.
So you're going to cut yourself.
Right. And this, I don't even think it turns on, which is a pain. And you know what? I got boondoggled by Sprint into not the renting plan. I got this last October, just about a year ago. And I think I'm just renting it. Like, I think I'm not. I pay $30 or $25 a month.
Well, good. Give it back to them.
But I don't. I think it has to come back in full beauty, or else I'm paying for it. Because this was like a $700 phone or something last year, the S5, which is crazy. Let's not talk about Android anymore. Let me do this one more trick.
This is, by the way. It sounds dumb. One of the main reasons I stopped using an iPhone is because I couldn't type on the keyboard. Because I couldn't tell if it was upper or lowercase. It was dysfunctional.
Oh, well, you want to talk about the lowercase keyboard?
They've added it's by default. I think Apple thought it was a Selectric, which is always an uppercase. But no, in fact, it's a digital keyboard. And that's the best way, in my opinion, to indicate whether you're in upper or lowercase is actually show it.
Show it.
That way I can enter passwords without making mistakes. It's funny. John Gruber said, I turned that off. I hate it. I like all uppercase. The good news is there's a setting. You can. It's an accessibility, but you can turn off the upper and lowercase. But for me, I know it sounds silly, but that's a major usability issue.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons I'm seriously considering moving back to the iPhone, because finally I can type on it.
Right.
But this is even better.
You can also use the keyboard as a trackpad.
I love this.
You do your two fingers here. Let's do these fingers. And then
what
if you have a big block of text, you can
What? So it's a cursor. It's like a cursor. Oops. It's a little tricky, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, you've just replaced that whole chunk with
that whole
TYP. But okay. So the you still can do the touch and the magnifying glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is, I think, a better way to do it.
Yeah.
Now, how does that work on a phone, a smaller screen?
It doesn't work. I don't think it works on the phone.
Oh, it's only on the iPad.
No, I think I am pretty sure it doesn't. Let's
see. That makes sense because it's too small.
Yeah, it's only
a
on the iPad. Yeah. It's only on the iPad. But it is a cool little trick, especially if you're writing on, you know.
Well, we're just used to it. And on an iPad Pro especially, where you probably expected to use the keyboard because it's a full-size keyboard, this is a must-have. So I'm very glad they added that. That's a really great feature.
Yes, I like it.
We have heard of problems, people installing iOS 9. Anytime there's a full upgrade of an operating system, a full point, number upgrade like that from 8 to 9, you should certainly back up before you do it. It's easy with iOS. Just plug it into a computer, run iTunes, it'll back it up. Or you can use the iCloud backup and make sure the backup is completed before you install iOS 9. You've waited long enough. It's been 5 or 6 days. There have been a few compatibility issues. A number of people who I respect say you should never do the operating system upgrade until, this is Alex Lindsay, the first fix for the first fix. So when iOS 9.01 comes out, that will fix some things but cause new problems. When iOS 9.0.2 comes out, he says that's when it's safe to upgrade. You know what? Nobody listens to him because, according to Apple, 50% of iOS devices have already upgraded to iOS 9.
Yeah, that's
50%.
Amazing.
50%!
Yeah.
In less than a week.
Right.
I guess we all want iOS 9.
I guess we do.
For the most part, given that many people, that's like 80 million people upgrading, we haven't heard very many problems. I think it's safe to do so.
Yeah.
Now, I did it immediately, and I love it.
Yeah. There's a lot of great things. It makes it's easier to delete pictures from photos. You can just swipe across and
Hallelujah.
Delete. There's all kinds of things. I covered
managing your
on.
Music's easier.
Yes.
You can delete stuff from your iCloud library or your device. I mean, just everything. And this is what Apple said it would be. They're sanding off the rough edges.
Right.
And it really does do that. It's also, I'm told, have you experienced this, better battery life and more performant?
I think I have. It's hard to tell, especially like the day that you download. Like that's what Renee Ritchie says. The day you download, of course, your battery is not going to be.
Life.
Yeah. So, but that was been a week. And yeah, I have had no issues. So if you have tricks, you can send them to us at iostoday@twit.tv or to our subreddit, which is reddit.com/r/iostoday. You can also call us 757-504-iPad. And we have a new sponsor today, Unity, which is really interesting.
Unity. This is a great idea. Now, I put it on my desktop at home, and the idea is you can share all of your content that's on your computer at home. It basically turns it into a private media server. Mm-hmm. So music, videos, photos, files can be shared from your home computer to your iPhone or your iPad. You don't have to upload files. You don't have to sync files. It's literally streaming from your computer. It's private. It's secure. It's unlimited. And get this, it's free. So it's easy to try. You can download the free Unity desktop software at, well, I'll give you the address in a second, for Mac or Windows. You create an account. It will index your media. I installed it this morning, and I've been indexing the media at home, and I have a lot of media on my desktop. That could take 5 minutes to 30 minutes or more. Then you go to the App Store and you download the free Unity app for your iPhone or your iPad.
So you can do your music, you can do videos, to stream videos, all your photos. I like the privacy of it if you're sharing photos.
This is such an interesting idea, don't you think?
I do.
I'm very excited by it. And it's free. So here's the deal. You can get it right now by going to GetUnity, that's GetUnity.com/twit. There's no catch here. There's no free trial because it's free. GetUnity.com/twit. And I've logged in.
There we go.
I'm not going to have it send me notifications. To immediately access, install Unity, I did. I put it on my Mac. Let's see what else. Share files with friends. Oh, that's kind of nice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can actually get a public URL that you can share out to people, which is cool. Mm-hmm. You see, it's downloading the metadata right now. You can link your Facebook account, which I didn't do, but you did. That makes it easier to log in. But you can also use Facebook to share at that point. And then, of course, invite your friends. Tell them all you heard it on iOS Today. Mm-hmm. You can then, by the way, use AirPlay. So I could now, and this is really crazy, my stuff's at home, all my music. Let's say I want to watch a movie. I got a movie on the hard drive at home. I can now use Unity to play it on my iPad and then AirPlay to my big TV. This is streaming music from my house securely. And one of the neat things as you do it is there's a share button. So these are all my songs that I'm seeing. There's a share button that you can use to share this. And then there's also, with friends, and there's also AirPlay, which is nice. So I could play this to the studio Apple TV, seeing all the Apple TVs in here. I just love that. Lightroom libraries, Apple Photo libraries, it will read automatically. iTunes libraries, it'll read GoPro videos. By the way, you could give it to your kids on unlimited. Put your kids on it.
Right.
And now they can stream their stuff. I just love it. GetUnity.com/twit, GetUnity.com/twit.
So, are you ready to talk about watchOS 2?
I am dying to, and I've been so frustrated. Now, I read Farhad Manjoo in the New York Times, who said, it's nice, but it's not a lot. And I'm surprised, because I felt like there's a lot of new features in here. He said, it doesn't change my basic advice, which has been my advice, too. The watch is an accessory that you don't need, because everything it does, you can do with your phone. But for some people who, for instance, want to be able to look at notifications without looking at their phone or want a fitness tracker on their wrist, things like that, it's valuable. But don't feel pressured to get it.
Right.
Because it's a luxury.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I feel like that's what I'm saying is mostly the people who already have it or the people who are on the fence. I'm going to push you over to the right side of the fence because you can now have your own photos as your watch face. So who doesn't want, I don't know if you can show this, but who doesn't want, there we go, a picture of themselves throwing up rainbows as their watch face?
Oh, that's the worst watch face I've ever seen.
Okay, well, let's look at some others.
So, this was the argument for not allowing custom watch faces, that only Apple could design a good-looking watch face. You're just proving they were right. Horrible.
Okay,
but I guess
so
for you, that's cool.
Force touch to change. So that's a
what
photo.
What else? What are the other new
There's
watches?
There's the time-lapse.
Ooh, can I see that?
You know, I tried this one. I didn't know what was time-lapsing unless it was incredibly slow or I was doing something wrong. Do you know what I'm doing to make it not time-lapse? Or
maybe that's the time-lapse. Not much happens in this.
No, because let's customize the time-lapse and see what. New York.
That's New York. Use your twister. Oh, your nibble knobber.
My nibble knobber.
Yeah, whatever they call that.
The digital crown?
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah.
So
I call it the nibble knobber.
So what are we doing wrong? Why isn't it time-lapsing?
Pick something that something will happen.
Shanghai. Something's always happening.
You know what?
Shanghai.
There'll be a new skyscraper before you know it.
Oh.
What have you done? Okay, this is, by the way, you're kind of highlighting.
There
Yay!
We go. There we go. Is that it?
That's it. So the first time you look at, yeah.
Okay.
It's just like the butterfly and the other things. It animates when you first, otherwise it would use
it
up the battery.
It is cool. So we have.
That's pretty.
Photo, so I can choose my photo. So if I don't want myself throwing up rainbows, I can do my daughter taking one of the many selfies. I can just look at my, yeah, I always forget about the digital crown. I don't know
the
why.
Digital like crown.
The digital crown.
The digital crown.
There, you can do a whole photo album so that, you know, whenever you want to switch, you don't have to customize. You just click there. Looks like the same photo, but it's really just many photos I took. And there are, let's see, there's the time lapse.
Motion
let's
we already had, modular
but
we already
had. But let's see if
had.
There's some other motion.
There's
ones.
New complications, and one of the neat things is that the complications can be third party. So finally, you know, if you use a fitness tracker, keep it in the shot here. If you use a fitness tracker, you can have a little fitness tracker complication. If you, well, go ahead, pick a face that you use, and let's, maybe we can play with the complications a little
There's
bit.
There's
one. So now you want to tap the customize button and pick one of the complications. That's not one of them. So the one of the little knobbies there.
Oh, isn't it?
Okay. And then, hello.
Here we go.
There we go.
Here's a complication.
There's a
complication.
And now you can scooch around.
So this I could do before, right?
See if there's something new in there. Because it would presumably pick that up from any app you had. Before, it was only Apple-provided complications.
Yeah. It's the same ones.
Timer,
see, I just downloaded
weather,
this
world
morning.
Clock. So you know what you've got to do, and it may be that developers have yet to put out
That's
apps that take advantage of this, but you, some of the apps will have their own third-party complications, which
well,
is awesome.
The other promise is that we can use apps separate from the phone. Like, you don't have to have the phone anymore, but I don't know how to know that.
Yeah.
Which ones it is. So I have OS 2. There's also the nightstand mode. May I show you that?
Yeah.
It has to be on the charger.
Okay. What is this charger
this
you
is
have?
A charger I'm going to show you in a second.
Oh,
hopefully
neato.
It's working. It's the Nomad Pod.
Nomad Pada.
The Nomad Pod.
The Nomad Pada.
Okay, let me enter my password. Don't look. Oh, the other thing about watchOS 2 is you don't, you no longer, people can't steal your watch. And
they can't steal your watch.
They can't steal.
Oh, yeah.
They can no
it's
longer
it's got an activation locking, huh?
Yeah. So let's go to the settings and turn on the nightstand mode.
Oh, this is cool. I'm playing music from my computer at home on Unity. That is neat.
Let's see. Where is nightstand mode? General?
Nightstand right at the bottom
nightstand
there. Yeah.
Nightstand mode. So
it's active. Okay.
You can use Apple Watch as a nightstand clock when it's charging on its side in nightstand mode.
Oh, it's not on its side.
What do you mean on its side?
Do you have to, like, have it? I think you do. I think you... No, other way. Put the digital doohickey upside down.
What are you talking? You do it. I don't know
you
what
do
you
it.
Mean by digital doohickey.
It's got a gravity sensor, so there's your nightstand.
Oh,
mode.
So this pot, this watch stand. There we go. There we go. So
oh,
this
man. It's
stand
hard
is
the,
not made for that at
no.
all.
No. And I told you. I warned you.
Yeah, you warned me.
I warned you. I said nightstand mode is coming.
There,
you need to get a horizontal stand. I can only barely show
I
you
think
that.
One of my stand is, I think I have my Spigen stand. I think I can.
Well, that's the irony stand. Of this. Even the Apple charger is not a horizontal charger. So you really need a third-party stand to take advantage of this because you want the watch on its side. Because, it, as you can see, it turns off when you're flat. But when you have to have the digital crown up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't show it to you very well because the angle's a little weird.
Maybe
but
you could show it that way.
Show it like...
I don't know.
I don't know.
I am looking forward to using this tonight. I just did the download this morning because I do. Like, I feel around on my bedside table. Where's my watch? How do I turn it on? And I do think my Spigen stand, I can turn that way. It has to rest.
Yeah, that's what I was just doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. You need to get a new stand.
I'm not convincing you.
You need to get one that sits like that.
This is OS 2 to convince everyone who already bought a watch that there's a few extra things
well,
you can
do with getting.
It.
Well, it's worth getting. Time machine.
Yes. Now, I couldn't figure out how that works either. Tell me how that works.
Well, all I know is what I see on TV.
Right.
But apparently,
you're supposed
when
to
you're
be
in
able
your
to
calendar,
go, back in
go
time.
In your calendar.
Yeah,
No, you're not in your calendar.
Okay.
You're in a watch face.
Calendar.
No.
Calendar. A calendar used to
have
be in my watch
face. Have you ever watched
face.
Somebody use a device and wanted to just reach over and grab it from them? It's hard to do with the Apple
Watch. Okay,
now you're in the calendar. Okay. Take this out because you're now out of focus. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yay.
That thing was there to
simulate
my simulate wrist.
Your watch.
Okay, so here's today. I can't go any further than that.
Well, go back. Wait a minute. Go back to today. Now, how much would you pay? There you go. No, that is normal. That's how
where?
A calendar is supposed to work.
In the watch face.
It's in the watch face? Okay, just now, you know how to get the watch face?
What?
Nobody does, actually. Just
the
tap
watch
the crown.
Face.
There you go. No, one more time. Hey, here comes the watch face. Okay, now go back in time.
What?
Whoa!
Oh, my
dude.
Goodness.
So if you had
mind.
Complications that had sunrise, sunset, or...
What am I
But
learning?
You can see the weather's changing. Like, it's getting cooler.
In
it's
New
in
York?
In the morning. It's
okay. What? So, seriously, what am I learning here? What's the problem this
What
is
it
solving?
Would be like at 5 in the morning.
Okay.
Now we're back in real time.
The show's over.
Yeah, we're going forward. There you go. That's time machine.
Let's go. Okay.
Oh, boy. I am so excited. That's better than a roller coaster ride.
Yeah. Bye. Like, I bet a lot of people, while they're watching this, they wish they could go ahead and
You know, it looks so exciting in the demo. This is... Now, the one complaint I have about Apple is that they're really good
at demos.
They are and you
so
watch these
good.
Events... And you go, oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And then you get it and you go, well, that's it, huh? Okay.
Yeah. I still love my Apple Watch. Did you notice?
I didn't.
Did you notice
it's
my
a different
Apple
color?
Watch looks a little different?
What
yes.
are you doing here?
This is a Griffin Ultra Thin case. Not
is
for protection,
case?
Really, but just for style. So
you
now it matches
it in
my
camera.
Clothes.
We can't
oh,
see.
Goodness gracious.
There you go. It's hard to do, by the way.
So,
oh, my golly.
There's my old sport with all of its... And here it is. Now it's a rose gold
you know, we
Apple
went to,
Watch.
When we were at the Apple Store looking at the iPad 4 Mini, we looked at watches, and they have all the new... All the bands are now in mm-hmm. stock and stuff, and you could take a look at the classic buckle and the magnetic buckle and the pink and the red. And they're beautiful until you ask them how much it costs.
Yes.
And then you go... and the Apple Store guy was helping us. I said, wow, $700, huh? He said, well, I just went on to Amazon.com, and they sell $35 ones. They're not as nice, but they're not $700.
Yeah, this is $19.99, and it comes with a pack of three.
Oh, so you can have any color you want?
They're not going to protect you. Well, of these three, yes, for $19.99. They're not really going to protect your watch, but
yes,
it looks
they will.
Nice, doesn't
look,
it?
You know what they, do
little
protect
bit from, scratches.
From scratching?
Yeah, from little
My
scratches.
Watch already has little, you know.
But doesn't that look like the rose gold there? Doesn't
yeah.
it?
What I need to protect is the band. See how the clasp on the band is all worn out? And let me show you. See, it's hard to see, but see
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What piece of garbage is that?
I know. I'm not kidding. No, it's just natural. But so a little protection on here. You can see I have some scratches and dings on there. So a little protection would, if you know, especially if you're thinking of resale value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't mind my stuff looking slightly worn.
Yeah.
It is worn, goodness. Right?
Yours
I'm
is
using
way more
it.
Scratched than
well,
mine.
I use it.
Yeah, but the space gray is that's
you have the sport. This the is the sport, stainless
yes.
steel, and
yes.
in fact, I think the sport is a little bit less scratchable.
Yeah, I mean, mine has
as you can see, the stainless mine. Steel yeah. kind of. That's
right.
Maybe you could buff that out.
Okay.
I don't think so. It's actually
all
getting
right.
worse.
The chat room is telling us they're boring.
Are we boring you?
Boring with the Apple Watch. So
it's
this,
heavy.
It is heavy. So
why
this
is it heavy?
Is
there a battery in there?
There is the app. Yes, there is a battery in there. So notice I was charging, and did you see any wires? No, it's magic. So
you charged the Nomad.
Yes. It has the Apple Watch charger inside. My first question
what
with
the
this
what?
Was, I know, was why do they? Why don't they just have a battery? But apparently Apple doesn't let you. You have to use their
so
charger.
So it's not that there's a battery in there.
Yes. No.
Well, no, there is a battery.
Well, there is. Yes, there is a battery. But they don't, I thought, why don't they just put their own third-party charger
in
there? But they
you
don't
have to
allow
license that.
That. Yeah.
Or maybe Apple doesn't
yeah,
license
Apple
it.
Yeah, Apple doesn't let. So I really like this because, you know, I wouldn't have been able to update to OS 2 because you have to be attached to your charger to update your watch. You know that. Mm-hmm. You have to be at least 50% charged and attached to your charger. So it's nice to have this today. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to show you all those amazing things that Watch OS 2 does. So this is the charger that comes with...
So you have to wrap that up inside.
And
the
you have
Nomad.
To be very careful. This was a little bit complicated here. It has to. It goes in this USB.
Well, how do you charge the Nomad?
Well, there's a battery inside, and then you charge the Nomad through micro USB.
It has another micro USB connector there.
It's all charged up. I've been charging it. So the idea is that you could take this.
I'm going to get that. How much is that?
That's a great question. How much is it, Josh?
Johnny, tell them how much they'd pay.
I would make it up, but then I might be wrong. So it's better just to say, I don't know, and then I'll be able to tell
I'm
you.
I'm looking it up right now on the magical internebs.
It's $80.
Okay.
$80.
Okay. I like that idea because if you're on the train or somewhere where you can't plug in to charge your watch, you could still charge it using this. And how many milliamp hours in that sucker?
1,800.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
Oh, that's good. So that's a few full charges.
So what you're showing now is this is the iPad. This is the Nomad.
Oh, that's for the
Pro.
iPad.
No, this is the not iPad. Nomad Pro, which charges your Apple Watch and your iPhone at the same time, and that just was announced.
Good
that's
golly, Miss Molly.
And that is $100, I think.
That's the Pod Pro.
But it's this is the
Hello Nomad.
Yeah. So it's you have to be super careful when you wrap it around. It doesn't. You know, if you don't, it's not going to fit.
Whoa, wait a minute. Show me that picture again. So it's charging the watch through inductance, just like the Apple charger. The watch just goes on the little plate there. Mm-hmm. But then it has the little cord coming out of the Nomad Pro. And that's what the lightning cord is charging your iPhone.
So that one was just
And it has 6,000 milliamp hours. So that means you'd get a full charge on both your phone and your watch.
Mm-hmm. Did I say $80? Handy. The Nomad Pro will be $80. The Nomad is $60.
You might want to get the Pro, though, right?
Right. You might want to wait.
You have to pre-order the Pro. It ships October 30th.
Yes. But, you know, we'll probably have a review of that, too.
Nice. Did they send you that?
Send me this.
That's nice.
They sent me this.
You know, it's considered traditional when you receive a gift to pass it along to the head sachem.
You can have it.
Here, your honor.
You'll need it. Well, if you were going to a place.
No, I'll buy one. It's
do you
fine.
Ever go to a place where
do,
you don't have a plug?
Now. Oh, yes, like the airport. Yes.
Yeah, or for the weekend.
You could get in a battle royale for the three plugs in the airport. So why not have this thing?
Yes.
And you can just.
True.
Or you know what I do is I do carry an external battery in my briefcase when I get on a plane, and that way I can charge on the plane. But that is a nice little device.
Okay, so, you know, the chargers are slightly different for the sport and for your watch.
Oh, so you have to get the one that matches your watch?
No, this works with both, but then you have this insert that goes to make it, like, you put that somewhere.
What does that do?
I think it raises it up higher.
Oh.
Because...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're slightly different. I think you have to stick this in here if you have
I see it.
The
and then
watch.
It kind of emerges...
Yes.
From the hole.
But because it has
the little
to be,
bunny
yeah.
sticks its head out of the hole.
Exactly.
Got it.
Bunnies.
Get
so the
it's
Nomad.
HelloNomad.com.
It's supposed to last the whole weekend. So if you go somewhere where you don't have a plug, you keep charging it.
Not my weekend.
I don't know what you're doing with your Apple Watch.
Lasts the whole weekend.
Yes, that's what it's supposed to do.
That's what they
to
say.
Charge. Yeah. That makes your watch.
What if your weekend begins on, as mine does, on Thursday and ends on Saturday?
Right,
does it last that weekend?
Yeah. That's their promise. It works for me.
I actually think I'm going to get one. This looks really cool. Okay. Yeah. Hello,
right.
Nomad.
That's all I have, and I think we have an advertisement from Braintree.
We have to do this so that we can continue to buy.
Oh, I did have some more. We already talked about peace. But before you do that, did you read the story about how Apple is purging malicious iPhone and iPad apps from the App Store? You want to talk about that?
We should mention that a little bit. So a security researcher found a flaw. What's happening, it's really kind of clever, is instead of trying to put malicious apps on the App Store, somebody said, you know, if we could just modify the programming environment people use to write iPhone apps so that it would inject the malware into every app they write, profit. So they are putting modified versions of Apple's Xcode, which is hysterical because you can get Xcode for free from Apple. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is go to the Apple Store, and that Xcode's fine. I guess some people, are downloading copies of Xcode, Apple's development environment, from, like, hacker.com. But if you do, and it's out there, the Xcode looks and behaves exactly as you would expect, except when you're doing the compiling and linking, it actually sticks some malicious code into your app. Apple found this, and they found, I think, what did they say, 20 different apps on the App Store that were in fact infected, not because the developer infected it, but because the developer was using an Xcode that was infected. So that's a really clever way of trying to sneak malware into the iPhone and the iPad. The good news is Apple knows what to look for. They've got tools, and they have removed all of the apps that are affected by this. The advice, and we've known this for some time, the advice to give out is to get Xcode from Apple. And this is nothing, you know, as you as a user, you just have to depend on Apple for, to find this stuff and get rid of it. You can't tell. But developers, come on.
Yeah. Okay.
It seems silly to go out and, oh, here, hacker, here, I have Xcode on USB key I've given you. Please take this as gift. It's not a good idea.
No.
Moose and Squiddle will love it.
Mm-hmm.
Our show today brought to you, developers, I'm talking to you, by Braintree. If you're a mobile app developer, getting that app out the door and approved by Apple, wouldn't you love to include payments? But I know you're looking at that thinking, I'm going to have to write this from scratch. And what about encryption and security? And Well, Braintree solves all that. Braintree Payments provides you with the simple, best payment solution. It's full stack. It's for .NET, Node.js, so it's on the web too. Java, Perl, PHP, Python, Ruby, of course, Android and iOS. They're JavaScript clients too. 10 lines of code, and you can accept everything securely in a way that your users will like. And you don't have to take my word for that. You know who uses Braintree? Uber uses Braintree. Airbnb uses Braintree. The biggest brands, the biggest apps use Braintree. I mean, all you have to do is think about Uber. What is the secret sauce on Uber? You arrive at your destination, you get out of the car, payment is handled. Braintree's doing that. By the way, they've got this great new buyable pins platform. Pinterest is doing this. Braintree also powers that. I have to say, these guys, I mean, to me, there's just no, it's a no-brainer. You can accept credit cards, Apple Pay, PayPal, Bitcoin, Venmo, and because it's an extensible platform, it's very easy for you. Like last week, Android Pay went public. So if you were a Braintree user, all you had to do is go into your control panel, flip the switch, suddenly you're supporting Android Pay. That easy. 10 lines of code, secure, fast payments to you, reassuring to your users. GitHub, for crying out loud, GitHub uses Braintree.
Jeff M. in the chat room says he uses Braintree.
Jeff M. in the chat room uses Braintree. He has a thing called Highwire. He says it's saving tons of money, and you know why? Because he's taking advantage of that first $50,000 in payments fee-free. What? Your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, but only if you go to BraintreePayments.com/iOS today. It was easy to use, wasn't it, Jeff? In fact, they'll even do the integration for you. You say, oh, I don't have time. They'll do it for you. Great support, great people. I love the Braintree folks. They've been huge supporters of all of our shows, so we thank them for their support and invite you to go to BraintreePayments.com/iOS today. If you're not the decision maker, talk to your product manager, your boss, whoever it is. It'll take you less time to sell them than I just took to sell you. It is that good. BraintreePayments.com/iOS today.
All right, we have a couple questions. Michael Rock on Twitter, he asked, there's a Tech Insider article about charging your smartphone. The article says we're charging it wrong.
Really?
So, yes.
How should you charge it?
He says that little bits, the Tech Insider article says little bits of time throughout the day.
Okay, so let me talk about that.
Yes, please talk about it. It's very confusing, and it's different than your laptop, and it's all, like, I think that there's
all devices now use, modern devices now use lithium-ion batteries. They are some form of lithium-ion. They're LiPo, and there's a variety of different kind of form factors, but it's the same rule. All lithium-ion batteries have a certain number of charge-discharge cycles, typically around 500. That means, this is important to understand, 500 times you could charge it all the way up and deplete it. That's the cycle. You could do that 500 times. Now, if you charge a phone a tenth of the way, a half of the way, that's not all the way up, that's a tenth of the way up. So if you, during the day, 10 times, plug the phone in, go a tenth of the way up, it's still one cycle. It adds up. It's additive. So this is the important takeaway. It doesn't matter. The key is you've got 500 cycles. The best thing to do is to not deplete your phone. So a couple of things you can learn from this. One, keep it plugged in. It's better to keep it plugged in so that if it is discharging, and the circuitry in the, by the way, modern devices have very sophisticated circuitry to make sure that this isn't a problem. The circuitry in the phone will let it go up and down, but tiny little micro amounts. But those don't count as full charges and discharges. They cost, you know, that's the thousands of a discharge, a thousand. So you could have a thousand of them. In other words, it doesn't wear it out any faster. In fact, the way you wear a phone out is by letting it go down all the way and then charging it all the way back. That's a full cycle. You only get 500 of those. So,
and then what happens?
Well, then you have your battery will stop holding a charge. And by the way, it's a cliff. It gets worse pretty quickly, and within, you know, a few weeks, it's just going to stop working completely. At that point, you bring it to Apple. They have a, by the way, they'll replace it. They have a fee. I think it was $100. I don't know. It might be a little bit more now. But they'll actually fix that, put a new battery in, then you get another 500 cycles. I have looked at all the research on this. Steve Gibson has looked at all the research. We've talked a lot about this. There's a lot of misunderstanding about this, but that's the fundamental. The one other piece of information that is true, if you're going to put a phone in storage, and you'll note, by the way, Apple kind of does this, about halfway down is the best. Not fully charged, not fully discharged, about halfway down. There will be some slow leakage. That's why when you get an iPhone, a brand new device from Apple, it's usually around 80% charged. That's because that's going to maximize battery life. When you're in storage, about halfway is what you want. Those are the only two rules that we know to be true. There are, you know, because of nickel metal hydride and NiCad batteries, the old battery technologies, there was a lot of kind of folklore about how to get the most out of them. Lithium ions really solves all of those problems. The only thing you need to know is if you can keep it plugged in, it's always better to keep it plugged in, that'll extend the life. Otherwise, if you're going to store it halfway down, I don't know what they're talking about. Put a little bit of time here, a little bit of time there.
Well, plugged in when it's fully charged. So the idea of, like, I'm going to plug it in at night and then it gets to 100%.
It says don't keep it plugged in when it's fully charged. That's wrong.
According to Battery University, which I think might be someone trying to sell batteries.
I have never seen any evidence that that's the case. I'll have to review. Battery University actually is a credible source, so I'll have to review this. I have never seen that to be the case.
Battery University is it an actual university?
Trying not to charge it to 100% is also nutty. It is true that it does not need to be fully charged.
Whenever you can, that's.
But there's circuitry. Okay, so some of this ignores the fact that there's circuitry that protects the battery. That's true if you could do it, but you can't.
Okay.
Because the iPhone won't let you do it. Plug in your phone whenever you can is absolutely right. Keeping it charged. I don't know how that has to. That seems contradictory, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because it also said don't plug it in overnight, but plug it in whenever you can, which is the right answer.
Right.
I think that is slink bait. I'm going to have to review what Battery University says. But, I trust Steve Gibson. I've looked at a lot of research. As far as I know, in fact, you do want to keep it plugged in as much as you can. And that includes overnight.
Right.
So they're half right.
Okay.
Well, in fact, they're half right and half wrong no matter what's the truth, because they say contradictory things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's another question. Why does this happen? Let's see.
What is happening?
Play the Beatles.
And what do you get?
Oh, sorry, wait, of course.
You get
what does
Siri,
that happen? That's a different question.
Siri saying something.
Play music by Garth Brooks.
Sorry, I can't stream what music by
heck?
Garth Brooks.
Play music from 2005.
That's one of the new things in Siri I like.
Mm-hmm.
You could ask Siri kind of categorical music questions.
Okay, why does it say open music? Why can't it just open it? That was the question from Terry Ower. Why do I have to give it permission to open music?
I don't know, that's kind of dopey.
Right, do you know the answer to that question? That was a big lead up. Now,
I
want this music from 2005 to stop. How do I make it stop?
Wait a minute, let me try that.
So, doesn't it ask you for permission?
Play music from Garth Brooks.
Sorry, leader of the free world.
Oh, now you see what my secret name is.
Okay, so the question is, whenever I ask Siri to play something, she asks for permission to open my music app. Can I skip this step?
Well, Boy, that's a good question. I guess we could look in settings. I know in some devices, not iOS devices, you are asked at some point, what do you want your default music app to be? That's because you have many choices. It's true on iOS, you have many choices as well. Maybe, but she doesn't, if you pick music, she doesn't say, oh, good, do you want me to open that from now on? She doesn't give
no,
you the choice.
No, it just always happens. And if you're driving, that's no good.
Anybody
I
in the chat room? Let me try again.
Maybe we'll get into
apparently,
that one next
Apple
week.
Doesn't have any Garth Brooks.
Yeah, I know. Or the Beatles. I'm sorry. I could really.
Listen to Bach. Yeah, same thing. Although it thinks
music.
I want to hear the book.
That might not be a
No, it's playing it.
That might not be the most appropriate thing to play.
What's wrong with that? It's the Book of Mormon. What's wrong with that? That's a religious tome. So
okay.
What's strange is it is playing it.
Right, but it's, yeah, interesting. But it's saying
why
open
is it
music.
Playing it, but it still says, oh, because it's playing it, but then it says, would you like to open music?
But mine doesn't.
But I can go away from that and it still plays. So it's doing
play
what
Rachel
I want.
Play Rachel Platten.
I'm not sure what you said.
Sorry, I'll shut up.
Play Rachel Platten. Okay, is it playing?
Great play. Ever see the Book of Mormon?
Okay, it is playing. And, okay.
So I guess his question is, why does it say open music? Well, because you may not want to open music. You may just want to go on with your life and listen to that fine song.
Right.
In fact, because I haven't opened music, I have no idea how to stop this. All I do is slide it down, and surely it's going to show me a play button or something.
Better.
Open music.
Okay.
You can do that, or you can slide it up, and it'll say and you have the
to pause it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess his question is why is I mean it's playing the music.
Mm-hmm.
So his question is why is it asking you to open because
right.
you don't have
but
to
it
open
is playing
music.
The music.
You could just listen to the music.
Right. But I think I know because I was having this issue, and probably the viewer was also like you were just opening music because you thought you had to because it is or there's
it looks
a delay.
Like you kind of have to,
you
huh?
Do. So I learned something too. You
play
don't have
the
to.
Beatles.
You got to play the Beatles.
So it's playing. Well, I have the Beatles on my.
Right.
So,
Okay. All right.
Huh.
So, on
and
another.
Then, so you could open music, but you don't have to open.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So, when we were talking about Siri tricks, remember I was talking
about. By the way, you can
about...
also do this. Stop the music.
Sorry, I can only take that request while you're listening to a song or podcast.
Right, because otherwise
it's
it makes
a
no
little
sense.
Smarter.
So you can also say stop music.
So you know that annoying sound when you press the Siri button? Remember
this
I was complaining
drives me
about that?
Freaking nuts. I don't want to hear that. It's so loud.
And on the phone, they got rid of it with iOS 9.
That's confusing. How do you know?
How do you know? Well, that's confusing. How do you know?
Okay.
So it's gone, so you don't have to hear it anymore.
Yeah.
But Allison Sheridan.
Who, me? Yeah, you.
So we're, our series, we're talking to the same thing.
Yeah, that
Allison
was weird, because it sounded like it said who in a male voice and me in a female voice.
Yeah.
I was thinking, but yours said who and mine said me.
Right. Mine is male and yours is female. And Allison Sheridan from Podfeet, she has a...
She's fixed it for us.
On the iPad. And I believe that we can play that tip from Allison about how to get rid of that Siri sound on your iPad.
Hi, Megan and Leo. Allison Sheridan back with another tip. This time I'm going to answer a question that Megan asked a couple of weeks ago. She asked how to turn the volume down of the noise that Siri makes when you initiate her. Now, the good news is on the iPhone, she no longer makes noise, but it turns out on the iPad, she still does. Well, a little while ago, a guy named Steve Davidson wrote in with a tip for my show on something unrelated, but it turns out it actually fixes the Siri problem, too. Let's go ahead and take a look at our iPad. When we press the home button to initiate Siri, it's very, very loud.
Yeah.
Okay, that's annoying. So let me get out. If I turn the volume down or I turn the ringer off, nothing stops it from being that loud. It turns out the trick is to turn the volume down while she's listening to you. So let me show you that. I'm going to initiate Siri. And now while she's listening, I'm going to turn the volume down.
Oh.
And let me get out and get back in. Now listen. She makes a noise, but it's really, really quiet.
That's nice. Thank you, Allison. Once again, Allison Sheridan to the rescue. Nozilla Cast. She's Nozilla Cast, and her she's Podfeet.
Mm-hmm.
She's both. Nozilla Cast is the show. Podfeet's the company. But here's my question: can you turn Siri up on the iPhone?
Oh, I bet you could.
Because I kind of like a little beep.
I don't like anyone to know that I'm getting Siri voice feedback. My info.
You know what I also like is you could just hold Siri up and talk to her.
Right.
Did they leave that in iOS 9, or did they take that
out?
Well,
it was out. I don't think it was.
They took it out and they put it back in.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know.
It's there. That's all I care about.
All right. So if you have tips or questions that we may or may not be able to answer, you can send them to iostoday@twit.tv, or you can call us at 757-504-iPad, or you can leave them on our subreddit. That was where the question, we had a couple questions.
I love that.
Yeah.
What is the subreddit? Reddit.com/r/iostoday. iOS Today. That's nice.
And this show is also brought to you by 99 Designs.
Get your hat ready. AppCap's coming up, but first a word from 99 Designs. I know a lot of you are starting a business. Maybe you're in the early stages of getting your business off the ground. I want you to think about logos. Your to-do list is a mile long, but really, branding is so important. Branding is even more than just a logo, but it does kind of, I guess, start with a logo. It's how we started Twit. We trademarked it. That became our logo. And I got some really good advice from designers when we did the logo. They said, make it simple, make it scalable, so it could go on a T-shirt, a hat, a web page. But make it distinctive, and if possible, make it express your brand, something about your brand. This is why you got to go to a designer. You really do. And that's why I love 99 Designs. It's an online marketplace where designers will compete to give you the best design. You get to choose from ideas created for you from awesome designers around the world. There's so many designers on 99 Designs just waiting for you to create a contest. That's what they call it. I'm going to have a contest for the best design. When you're starting out, of course, you're going to want to get your logo designed, but they also make it easy then to do the rest of your brand, like stationery, a great website, banner ads, menus, whatever it is your business needs, they can do it for you. But it all starts with the logo. Logo designs start at $299. There's a 100% satisfaction money-back guarantee. We've used 99 Designs in a lot of different ways. As you know, our T-shirts were designed at 99 Designs. We also, maybe you don't know this, we wanted to update our media kit for advertisers. It looked kind of junky because I did it. And we went to 99 Designs, got a great designer, did a beautiful job. It is gorgeous. Look, bring your brand to life. Visit 99designs.com/twit. 99, I like the Burger State. That's a good logo. 99designs.com/TWIT. And by the way, when you do that, you get a free $99 upgrade. They'll highlight your project listing. They'll bump it to the top. They'll feature it on their blog. And by the way, you're going to get, as a result, about twice as many designs to choose from. And that's free, normally $99. Just go to 99designs.com/. These are great logos, /twit. 99designs.com/twit. It really is a great way to get your business going, is to get that branding, that logo design right up front. You're much more likely to have something that you'll live with, as we have, for 10 years. 99designs.com/twit. How come you get a great hat that says Steve Jobs?
I made this hat.
You did?
From the
four-page ad?
Yes. This is...
Hey, we should do a field trip to see the Steve Jobs.
We should. When, is it October 2nd?
Actually, I like it like this, because then... Turn it this way, because then he's looking at you.
Yeah.
He's got his little beady eyes. Mm-hmm. Michael Fassbender's beady eyes looking at you.
Yep. So, yeah, that's from the movie.
That's coming out next week?
Yeah, October 2nd. I know The Martian's coming out next week and the Steve Jobs
challenges, movies.
I mean,
challenges,
what are we
going to
see? We should go see both.
I'm going to stay home and play Star Wars games.
Okay, let's see your app.
No, you start.
Okay.
Ladies first.
All right, so Snapchat.
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 Love it.
Finally, sort of almost figured out how to use it.
You know what?
Snapchat.
This means that the kids will stop using it now that adults have figured out how to use it.
Yes. So there's a few, they just had an update with a few different things. One of the things is, you know, Snapchat used to be the thing where your picture just disappeared immediately. You could never look at it again.
Right.
A snap.
Now it only disappears after a day.
Right. You can only watch it once. If you watch it once, then.
Or. You could pay 99 cents and replay it three times.
Yes.
They finally figured out a business model.
Yes, which I think is fascinating. I think you can play up to three snaps one more time.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
One snap three times or three snaps one time? One of those. I'm never going to buy
that. If you want to know what it is, you probably already know. I'm never going to buy it either. I talked to my daughter, who's a huge Snapchat fan. She was like, I wouldn't spend money on that.
No.
It's your regular in-app purchase model.
Kind of the point of Snapchat is, and this is, I think, why the kids like it, nothing's permanent.
Yeah.
So Snapchat allows you to send text, pictures, even videos to friends. They can see it. They've really streamlined the user interface. You used to have to hold it. Now you don't have to do that anymore. People, when it first came out, adults like me said, oh, this will just be for sexting those kids. But you know what? Every kid I know uses it, and they use it in a completely benign way, and it's great.
It is actually, it's an interesting way how that generation has dealt with the amount of media that we have. They're just like, I don't want all that stuff clogging up my
phone.
I don't want to keep up, and I don't want to always look as beautiful as I look right now, for example.
This might be a good time to make a Snapchat.
Right. They don't want to have to be portraying themselves constantly and have that stick around forever. So, yes, it will lead to some bad behavior occasionally.
But so will any software, any texting, any messaging.
Anything.
I really love Snapchat.
So what I love about the 99 cent thing, I mean, I foresee that there will be parents who are just like, what is this giant bill? What were you doing? So, you know, it's good if it gets parents more involved in what their kids are doing on their phone. Great.
Okay.
And also, if a kid says, you know, I'm not going to post this inappropriate picture of myself because now someone can pay to rewatch it, if that's the benefit of it, too, I think it's really smart.
I think people know, kids know, that, in fact, you can, of course, save any Snapchat image. Snapchat will warn you if somebody does a screen cap of the image, but that's still possible. So I think kids are smart enough not to put images on Snapchat or any public service like that that they wouldn't want your grandma to see.
Well, of course kids are smart enough. They also lack impulse control, which is why you have
access. It's also fun.
But I think, Josh, I have a video of my daughter. She just had a snap she wanted to say forever, so all she did was take a picture of it.
Right.
There it is. So she just took a video.
What the? Oh, my God, your daughter has some horrible illness. What's happening? Her eyes have swollen, and she's vomiting rainbows.
She is vomiting rainbows, which was part of the new Snapchat update. This was the fun part. So Snapchat.
I think what I like about Snapchat is the user interface is completely opaque to grown-ups.
Yes.
Kids go, oh, yeah, well, you just go, shoop, 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 and that works. Grown-ups go, there's no what, huh?
Yeah.
But that's part of the appeal, I think, to the younger
There's no
folks.
Native iPad app, is there? Is it just
no,
the
I'm using the iPhone app, but it works.
So
it works
here,
just fine.
I don't know if you can, what's the best way to see it? Can you see this? Okay, here we go. So you have to get these new things they're calling lenses. You touch the screen.
Turns out Snapchat bought a company that was selling an iOS app that did this. Oh, what's going on to your... Okay, so you open your mouth and you look like Voldemort. That's the Voldemort filter.
This one?
You're Gossip Girl. I like that, yeah.
This one.
Now, you can record these as stills, but it's much better to do a movie. All you do is press and hold the button, and it becomes a movie. You know what I like about... Ow! Stop slapping me. What I like about this is you could save this to your camera roll as a movie.
You could.
So you do have the option of saving this and posting it on Instagram or Facebook.
I like it just saved to my story. So I click that arrow. I save to my story.
That's another thing.
I send it to my
daughter
because
these new stories are great. You can add little bits throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
It only lasts 24 hours, but I have many friends like Baratunde Thurston who make stories every day, and it's kind of a way of keeping track of them. The only reason I haven't done it is a lot of work, and then it's gone after a day. It's like,
here's my story. Should we look at my story?
Yeah, let's see your story.
Here's my story.
Well,
that was just a drive to school.
There's one of your kids there.
That's
making,
Huck. Mm-hmm.
That's Huck making funny. Oh, he's a dragon. But there's a mom crying because she's so sad. That's a meme, by the way. You know, these are mostly memes.
They are.
Yeah.
That's a slap meme.
He didn't get slapped.
Oh yeah.
Oh, he deserved it. There you are, breathing fire, as moms are wont to do.
Yes, they are.
But just, that's a still, and so you see why.
Yeah, you want the
still,
video.
It does. It looks like you got a bad cold.
We have to look at it for that long. Yeah, that's much better. That's my favorite. When you're late, that's me. That's
Leo's late again. Yeah. Now, whoa, he's not happy
you're
about
my
that.
Story too.
Oh my golly gosh, he's an evil. This is fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And you can make stories public so everybody can see them if they follow you, or you can make it just for your friends and just for your family. I agree. Snapchat's free. It's fun. I think parents and educators don't have to really worry that it's somehow, you know, something the kids are going to misuse. I think kids love it. And, you know, as with any other internet communications tool, you want to kind of supervise them.
I mean, the scary thing is that you can't. Like, you have no idea what they're sending to each other. Where everything else, you can check up on them and read through their text messages, or, you know, go through their Instagram. You can do all that.
I know what they're sending to each other. They're sending love messages.
You shouldn't depend on that anyway, because, you know, kids are
right. They could
smart.
Do anything
they'll
they want. They just go to their friend's house.
They'll go somewhere else
with that lax mom who doesn't pay any attention.
Mm-hmm.
Megan. So
no, I'm the mean mom.
Are you the mean mom?
I am the mean. I'm the one that knows, you know.
Because you're technologically
everything.
Savvy.
Yes, yeah. But I am also the cool mom. I impressed my daughter's friend by telling her. That's another thing we didn't mention. iOS 9 has a selfies folder. Puts all your photos, all your selfies, all the pictures you take with a front-facing camera, they will put into a selfies folder for you. So, see, it's addicting. Do you want this to be your app cap too, or do you have something? I think he wants you to show that, Josh.
Josh is very slow on the uptake. It's too late now, Josh. Let me.
You thought maybe you didn't want to show that.
I'm sure
your big hat was blocking the.
Well, you could take
view.
The shot, and then I would move out of the way because I am sensitive that way to what is actually going on.
All right,
on.
So let's get some Star Wars action here. No,
so J.J. Abrams rebooting Star Wars in December. We're all excited. BB-8. There's been great trailers and leaks and stuff, and everybody's a Star Wars fan, right? I think J.J. Abrams is going to be a great custodian, as you probably know. Lucas sold it to Disney. Well, we've got our first game from the new J.J. Abrams universe. This is a game that takes place... Now, I'm trying to remember where in the canon it is. It is right before or after... I think it's right before Return of the Jedi. It's called... After. Okay. It's called Star Wars Uprising. And it's hard to describe. I would say it's a little bit like... Session Timed Out, because I was playing and now I have to go back and get in. So there's... It's a little bit like... it's a top-down... Not a first-person shooter. It's kind of a top-down. You play a character. In this case, I'm Tam Bastion of the Rebel Alliance. I know I look like Darth Maul, but I'm not. So I know I've got a plan about those Kyber crystals. Go ahead and show the screen, unless my hat's in the way. You'll be lucky if the whole place doesn't collapse, not to mention the credits we owe Happy. That's my sister, Larth Laporte. Wish me luck. Tap to place the crystals. So this is still the tutorial, but I wanted you to see, and then double tap to roll. So, whoa, I blew it up. So I wanted you to see how cool the graphics are and what kind of game it is. They're little mini missions you can play fairly quickly. It's free with in-app purchases, but I haven't yet run into anything I have to buy. I would guess that this is probably pretty playable without spending any money. Now tap on the Bacta stations to heal. So let's go heal a Bacta station. By the way, it's not this dopey. It's just we're in the tutorial still. And eventually this is going to get a little bit harder. You move it. I've mentioned this before, but I really love to see games that use the iPad's native interface. This is a pretty good interface. There's no weird controls you have to use. Tap once to auto attack. Whoops. Auto attack.
Maybe you pinch to zoom?
I can't attack that, but I want to attack that. Oh, I hate it when you can't attack a game. Oh, it's no fun. Maybe I want to attack that. Boom. And that. Boom. So pinch to zoom means you get in a little too close, but there we go. And there. And it's
What's
a start.
That? Is that a treasure box attacking you?
What is that? I don't know. It's a walking suitcase. Surely you've seen that before.
Robot.
Is it a robot? Oh, now we get some droids. So now we're actually kind of in a little bit more of a battle mode here. Those are security droids. It's got the Lucas music, and it really, I mean, you wouldn't know that it's not Let's see. Let's find some cover here.
You wouldn't know it's not the movie?
I would know that it's not the movie, but you wouldn't know that it's a new generation of Star Wars. I mean, it's got very much the feeling of Star Wars, and it's always had. Let's see what this is here. The controls have opened. You want me to turn the sound up? I thought maybe I turned it down by accident.
Yeah.
It's not very loud, though. Let's. Where's the volume?
Should be louder.
Oh, yeah, we turned it way down. Much more fun.
Yeah.
Much more fun.
Oh, so this is free.
Free with in-app purchases. Don't bother me, I'm playing.
Okay. Well, I have another show to do. So while you're playing, I am going to say thank you for watching. You can get all the links.
Come on. Come on.
twit.tv/iOS today. You can email us at iostoday@twit.tv. Call us 757-504-iPad. And stick around. If you're watching live, go get some coffee.
Thanks for joining us.
To Tech News.
The name of the game, once again, Star Wars Uprising. It's brand new. It's an editor's choice on the App Store. If you're a Star Wars fan, just add it to your collection. I like it that they made it free with an app purchase, so you can at least get a flavor of it without spending any money. We'll see you next time.
iOS today.
Bye-bye.